Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
And so, allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you and praise you. Lord, we exalt you and magnify you. Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. I've entitled this morning's message, Can You Count It All Joy? Can you count it all joy? If you have your Bibles, turn with me to James chapter 1. And we're going to read verses 2 through 8. But let me just say this. How many of you have experienced some serious trials in your life? Okay. How many of you are coming out of a trial? Okay. And some of us are about to enter into one. But my question is this. Can you count it all joy in the midst of turmoil? In the midst of suffering? In the midst of loss? In the midst of backbiting and slander and lied upon and deceived? Can you still count it all joy? Well, I'm here to share with us this morning this message that through Christ and Him alone, and the power of the Word of God, God's able to reach down into the bone and marrow. See, the Word of God says it is sharper than a two-edged sword, able to reach down into the bone and marrow. Can I get amen? Amen. So if you're there at James, I have the Word of God up here on the screen if you didn't bring your Bibles. Praise God. I make sure that you read God's Word. Amen? Because it's power. There's power in the Word. And so let's read. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces what?
Patience.
Patience, huh? Are you sure? Is it written down right, or is it backbiting? But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to us liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Praise God. That's one of the keys. Ask God for wisdom. Be slow to speak. We're ready to say something that we shouldn't say. Can I get amen? Because it's in us already. This is why we need the power of the Holy Spirit to bridle the tongue. Verse 6, look at this. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. This is what God thinks of those who doubt, who cannot believe him. For let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. Look at this. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. That's not you guys, right? Oh, yeah. Sometimes we do fall short, don't we? That's right. So, saints, the word count is a financial term, okay? I want you to catch this. It means to evaluate. When James says to count it all joy, he encourages his readers to evaluate the way that we should look at trials and tribulations that come. Count it all joy. James called believers to develop a new and improved attitude that considers trials from God's perspective. It's his perspective that we need to focus on, not ours. Ours is, oh, woe is me. But God's perspective, I'm doing something mighty in your life right now. And you have to go through this. Praise God. Praise God. And we don't like it there, do we? We murmur and complain. We squeal. We go, no. Oh, come on. And so James wants believers to know to expect trials of various kinds in our Christian walk. And we all have various trials. And we should be prepared and not caught off guard when a sudden trial comes upon us. How many of you have had things come upon you suddenly? Suddenly. Okay. So God, you know what? We're on display before God. How are you going to react? You see, my friends, trials are part of the Christian experience. Can I get amen? Jesus told his disciples, in this world, you will have what? Trouble. Trouble. Now look what Philippians says right up here. In Philippians 1, 12 through 14, look at this. And this is in the New Modern Translation. But I want you to know, brothers, that the things which happened to me have resulted in advancing the gospel, so that my imprisonments in Christ have become known throughout the entire palace guard and to all the rest. And a great many of the brothers in the Lord, having become confident because of my incarcerations, have dared to speak the word without fear. Now, the majority of the New Testament is written by Paul through epistles. And many of his letters were not written in an office with a fax machine and emails. He was tied to someone else in a dungeon, in a prison. Just imagine the stench in there. It was not Donovan's prison. They didn't have big screen TVs and running hot and cold water. You could imagine it was rat infested. They couldn't just go to the bathroom when they wanted to. Wow. Saints, Paul always wanted to go to Rome to preach the gospel. However, he expected to go as a preacher, not a prisoner. This thing came suddenly. Look at the here in the book of Acts 19. When these things were accomplished, Paul purposed in the Spirit, Holy Spirit, capital S, you see that? When he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. This was his intention, to go and preach the gospel. Not once did he ever thought that he would be imprisoned for the gospel. We in this country live in awesome freedoms. And we know it's becoming divided. We know there's people that love God and there's people that hate God. We're never going to know when the anvil will hit and Christianity will be tried to be done away with. That's why you need to pray for your leaders. Can I get amen? Continue to pray for them. See, Paul said it best in here, Romans 1:15. Look at that. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are also in Rome. That was his intention, to leave Jerusalem to go to Rome to preach. Little did he know that Satan raised up adversaries against him. Did you know that you have adversaries in your life? The day you got saved, you became an enemy to the dark world. Can I get amen? You know why? Because you jumped out of their camp. And now you're in the camp of God. Can I get amen? And so afflictions and unforeseen events had taken place with Paul. He had an illegal arrest in the temple of Jerusalem. He was a prisoner in Caesarea for 2 years, incarcerated. He appealed to Caesar. He was shipwrecked on his way to Rome. 3 months of waiting on the island of Malta under house arrest. So they had those things around your ankle there too. And so I want you to look at this right up here. Number one, Paul was not discouraged because he knew afflictions were part of the life of a Christian. Can anyone say amen to that? Or do you walk every day tiptoeing through the tulips? Many of us have been afflicted. I can share testimonies after testimonies after testimonies, how God saw me through some serious trials. My brother can attest in our early church. And God will see you through. Amen. You see, saints, Paul wrote the majority of the New Testament, as I shared, letters to the saints of God in many of those regions. In his epistles, Paul would always mention his trials and tribulations. Why? To encourage us, not to frighten us. And when you share with someone, hey, God can bless you. God can heal you. God can raise you up. God can fix the situations. You are testifying what God has done in your life. Until God does something in your life, you could never tell anyone that he can fix it. We must go through trials. We must go through serious. Sometimes they're grievous. Sometimes they're self-inflicted. Sometimes we do it to ourselves. But yet God will still get the glory. Even when you do it to yourself. Can I get an amen? You see, his testimonies were to glorify God and to encourage the body of Christ to persevere at all costs for God's glory. Say that with me. For God's glory. It's all for God's glory. Can I get amen? Look what Paul wrote to Timothy right up here. Look at this. In 2 Timothy 2:8. Look at this. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David, according to my gospel, in which I suffer what? Good times. No, I suffer trouble like a criminal. And he wasn't a criminal. When he got saved, his sins were washed away. All the things he did, remember, he was Saul of Tarsus. This man beleaguered the church. He was the original drive-by. House invasion. He would come and pillage the Christians. And then when he radically got saved, he became born again. He became a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And now he was walking under the anointing. And yet there were still Christians in his day and time that were still standoffish. They were going, wait a minute. He's the guy that threw us in prison. He's the guy that killed my primo. Yet, God used him mightily. So he had to glorify. He had to testify. And this is why, whatever you have gone through, don't keep your mouth shut. Testify, glorify God. Look at this in verse 10. Therefore, I endure all things for the sake of the elect. Guess what? Turn to your neighbor right now, to the right and then to the left, and say, you are the elect. He experienced these things and he wrote them down for us, the elect, 2,000 years later. My goodness. Hallelujah. That they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. His tribulations he saw were what? You know what? Meaningless to him other than I have to go through. He didn't murmur and complain. Nowhere do you find in there where he says, oh man, I can't wait to jump this guard. Oh, come on. Come on, I grew up in National City. You know how we used to roll. You do something to me or my family, I'm coming with about 10. Oh yeah, we'd go roll up on something, didn't we? But he didn't do that. He could have asked God, God, send down legions of angels and set me free, God, and destroy these God haters. Uh-oh, he didn't, huh? No, because he knew his call. He knew his purpose. He knew why God saved him and knocked him off his beast. And many of us were riding on the same beast. Oh, come on. Some of us were in and out of bedrooms. Some of us, man, were meeting people at 7-Eleven. Oh, come on. You know my testimony. I have $500 of crystal meth in my sock when God saved me 34 years ago. Hallelujah. And I'm here to let you know, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Hallelujah. I'm no longer bound to that no more. Hallelujah. And many of you are no longer bound to those devices that the devil has set up for your life. Hallelujah. You got to understand, when you get set free, you need to glorify, testify. You need to shout it out loud. Hallelujah. Oh, that's right. He saved me from the beep, bitty, beep, bitty, blah, blah, blah. Oh, yeah. I used to love the Academy. Bleep, 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 bleep. And God set me free. Hallelujah. Now I can praise him. That last song, how he loves us. Can you lift up your hands and say, oh, God, I love you.
God, I love you.
Woo, yes. My goodness, look at this in verse 11. This is the faithful saying, if we die with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. How many of you want to reign with him? My goodness, I want to reign with him. This world has nothing to offer me no more. Hallelujah, but heartache and hardship. A young girl called, found me on WhatsApp app through, I don't know how. It turned out that many of you who were at Temple Beth Shalom, remember Ruthie? She was the rabbi's secretary. Well, her daughter named Priscilla called. I didn't even know who she was. And she goes, my mom told me, and they're Jewish.
Hallelujah.
My mom told me to call you, that you would have an answer to my depression. And I said, yes, it's Jesus.
Yeah.
I said, yes, it's all about Jesus. Pray for her. She's supposed to come today at 1 to the healing rooms. You see, God will even bring them to your doorstep when someone needs help. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. Wow. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. Why? Because he cannot deny himself. Praise God. Look what it says here in 1 Thessalonians. Therefore, when we could no longer endure it, this is Paul. Man, just imagine the beatings, the suffering. Did you know that he got beaten by rods of iron? Some of you can bump your knee or your toe at night and go, ah. And we're crying. Ah. That thing's throbbing. You can feel your heartbeat in your toe. But he was beaten with rods. And yet, it was heavy on him. Look at this. And we thought it good to be left at Athens alone. We sent Timothy, who was our brother and minister of God and fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish and comfort you with regard to your faith. He needs someone to remind him that God is faithful. How many believe God is faithful? Look what it says here in verse 3. So that no one should be shaken by these afflictions. For you know that we are appointed to this. He got a revelation from God that these afflictions were appointed by God. Praise God for your afflictions and mine. Because we will learn something from them. Can I get amen?
Amen?
We'll be able to minister to other souls that are going through such like afflictions. Look at this. Indeed, we told you before when we were with you that we should suffer tribulation, just as it came to pass, as you will know. Look at verse 5 up here. For this reason, when I could no longer endure it, I sent to inquire about your faith, lest by some means the tempter might have tempted you and our labor might have been in vain. Praise God. All these apostles, disciples, and Paul and Timothy, they all suffered. They suffered to give us the word today. And now we piggyback on them. Hallelujah. They're our fathers in the faith. Look what Paul wrote to the Philippian church right up here. Do not be frightened by your adversaries. Many of us have adversaries. Can I get amen? Amen. This is a sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and this is from God. For to you, it was granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. Now, if you thought you came here to listen to one of these kind of sermons, that everything's going to be all right, just drop your money in the basket, everything's going to be all right, please don't come back again. Because the word of God tells us that men and women suffered for the cause of Christ. And as you live as a child of God, you will suffer some things. Can I get an amen? Amen. But it's to reprove us. It's to strengthen us. It's to build us up in our most holy faith. This worship team has gone through some things, and that's why they worship God. Why? Because they've been through something. They've gone through, and they're still going through. And so when they come up here and worship, hallelujah, they're singing their testimony to you. Hallelujah. You don't know what they've gone through, but they do. I get glimpses of it, and I pray, oh God, strengthen, oh God, build up, oh God, help them, oh God. We do everything we can, because let me just say this. This is where the most, hallelujah, fight and battle is in the worship. The enemy comes to try to destroy what God is doing. Can I get an amen? But God will build up a standard. Can I get an amen? God will put a hedge of protection. Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And so, as the word of God says in verse 28, do not be frightened, do not be frightened, do not be frightened. Look at this in Philippians 3:7. Look at this. But what things were gained to me, I have counted these things to be lost. Listen, some of you, career-minded, college-minded, all these things, they're great, they have its place. But Jesus should be number one. Jesus is the one you should pursue. Can I get an amen? And then he'll add all these other things to you. The Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart according to his will. Can I get an amen? Look at this. Yes, certainly I count everything as loss for the excellence of a knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, from whom I have forfeited the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. This was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He was the attorney of the day. He was from the line of Benjamin. This guy had it going on. And he thought he was doing a good thing by killing the Christians until God had to knock him off his beast. In my unsaved days, I call them BC years, I was on a big wild beast, thinking I was on top of the world, and Jesus had to come and knock me off that beast. Hallelujah. You see, when God does that to someone, he's got a mighty plan for you. Something you cannot see at the moment. And then he replaces all those evil devices, all those evil companions that you once had, all these things that you once thought were dear to you, he separates you, he sanctifies you, he sets you apart. Hallelujah. And then he brings wonderful people like you guys. You guys are wonderful people to my life. And I hope I'm wonderful to your life. That's what he does. That's what God does. And you are all more precious in the sight of God. And guess what? I get to share his word with you all. That's only God's grace. That's only his mercy. Hallelujah. You didn't want to know me back in my BC years. I'm so blessed and thankful. My precious wife right here, Sister Yolanda, she never knew me in my BC years. It was 10 years after I got saved that God said, you're ready now because you learned how to love me. Now you can learn learned how to love one of my daughters. She didn't know all the things, all the bleep, 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 bleep. That horrible tongue. She never heard me curse once. God's our witness. We've been married now 26 years. She told me the other day, she goes, "You make me laugh every day. I see you doing some quirky things and you make me laugh." Listen, a relationship should always be joyful, right? It can't be like this. Bum, 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 bum. Bum, 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 bum. Oh, come on. You got to have some joy. We just love hanging out. That's right. We hang out. We go everywhere together because we love each other. And that's learn to love one another. Amen? Amen. With the love of Christ, love of God, and give God all the glory for it. All the glory goes to him. It's but the grace of God. Look at this in verse 9. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness which is of God is on the basis of faith. Look at this. To know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Praise God. Being conformed to his death. We need to be conformed to his death. If somehow I might make it to the resurrection of the dead. Praise God. Look at number 2, our second point up here. Paul's experiences contradict the prosperity gospel preached in the church recently. Right now it's prosperity everywhere. Hallelujah. Just pray that when you walk into your garage, your little VW will be a Cadillac. Speak it into existence. And all they want to do is ring out your ducats. You know what ducats are, right? Okay, that was back in the day, money. Look at this in Acts. Look at this in Acts right here. Now, compelled by the Spirit, capital S, I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing that what shall befall me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. Wow. Did you catch that? These were waiting. None of these things deter me. In other words, Paul said it best. None of these things are going to deter me in this. Can I get amen? Nor do I count my life of value to myself, so that I may joyfully finish my course and the ministry which I have received from the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Can we honestly say that we will finish the course? How many of you want to finish the course? All you have to do, not be perfect, because none of us can ever be perfect. Can I get amen? God is looking for us to be faithful. Even in the midst of our trials, even when we miss the mark, every one of us will miss the mark. The Bible says it's clear that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He didn't call us to live a perfect life. He's called us to live a faithful life. Faithful unto God, faithful to one another. Teach others to grow in the grace and knowledge. And if someone sins against you, be quick to forgive them. Back in the day, it was like, what up? Oh, come on. Oh, none of you were like that, right? You guys all went to parochial school, huh? My goodness. Look at Paul wrote. Are they servants of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant, in stripes, more abundant. Look at this, above measure, in prisons, more frequently, in deaths often. Look at this, 5 times I received from the Jews, 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. And it wasn't through a hookah bump, you know, one of those hookah. He wasn't stoned like that. He wasn't at a rock concert that got stoned. They literally picked up stones and threw them at them. 3 times I suffered shipwreck. Night and day I have been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen. His own countrymen turned their back on him. And by the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brothers. What? False brothers. Listen, it's not for us to snoop and find who they are. God will expose them all by himself. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Just keep coming and praising God. Look at verse 27. In weariness and painfulness, in sleeplessness, often in hunger and thirst, in fastings, often in cold and nakedness, beside the external things, the care of all the churches pressures me daily. His whole goal, his whole mindset was to bless the people of God. He understood his call now. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Look at our third point right up here. Every affliction we suffer is an investment that God is making in us. You have to, listen, he didn't call you to become a pew potato. Huh? Oh, listen, praise God for the pews. Praise God for the comfortable scenes. But when we leave here, we should be about our Father's business. Can I get an amen? Huh? Amen. Saints, even when we afflict ourselves, God makes a way through his word to help us throughout our trials. How many of you can honestly say, I did it to myself? Okay, no, so you, all of you are wiser than all that, huh? You just see other people do it to themselves. Look at this in Psalm. King David wrote it. Blessed is he whose transgressions is what? Forgiven. Whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity. You see, when you give your heart to Christ, he remembers your sin no more. Oh, we could remind each other about our sin. Oh, well, I remember. I still remember. Oh, yeah, we can remember each other's transgressions, right? But you know what? God doesn't remember them no more. I thank God. I'm not... That God is my refuge and my strength. Look at this. Blessed is a man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and whose spirit there is no deceit. And when I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. Look at this in verse 4. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. That's how it works. You repent, you confess, hallelujah. And then you ask God to come into your life. You see, repentance has to come first. Repentance means I'm turning my back on this world and I'm turning my back on sin. Now, God, I'm coming to you. And let me tell you, when the heart becomes repentant, then God, hallelujah, will connect with you now. Now God will do this. After the repentance comes, here comes the blood. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. No one's talking about the blood no more, but the blood then comes, hallelujah, and does something that you cannot do ever. He eradicates the original sin from Adam. And once your sins have been washed away, then he fills your empty vessel with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Now he empowers you. How many are so blessed to have the Spirit of God in them? When you have the Spirit of God in you, hallelujah, the gates of hell cannot prevail no longer. You are forever his. Can I get amen? Hallelujah. Look at this in verse 6. For this cause, everyone who is godly shall pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely and a flood of great waters, they shall not come near me. You are my hiding place. Say that with me. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. You see, when you get saved, all you can do now is just sing unto him. Praise him. Glorify him. Say, thank you, God. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Because I couldn't do this on my own. I've tried. You know how New Year's comes around. We have these to-do things. I'm going on a diet. And as soon as 9 o'clock p.m. rolls around, I'm off it. Oh, come on. But what God does something in your life, like save you, nothing can be taken back no more. Hallelujah. So look at this, saints, as we come in for a close. If the Lord did not permit troubles in our lives, that would be the worst form of rejection. You catch that? If God didn't allow us to go through some things, guess what? He doesn't care for us. We've been rejected by him. Job said it best. Look at this. Man, that's us, who is born of a woman, that's us, is of a few days and full of trouble. Listen, if you've never been in trouble, keep on living. Trouble will find you. Trouble will come knocking at your door. Look at this. He comes forth like a flower and fades away. He flees like a shadow and does not continue. And do you open your eyes on such a one and bring me to judgment with yourself? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? No one but God. Paul understood his past failures as a persecutor of the faith. But once he became saved, he was the man. He was the man. And turn to your neighbor and say, God has called you. Come on. To be that. If you're pointing to a woman, if you're pointing to a woman, so God has called you to be the woman of God. If you're pointing to a man has called you to be the man of God. Can I get amen? That's right. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. Because Paul said it best in Philippians, not that I have already attained. None of us have attained squat. Right, come on. None of us have attained diddly-do. Or am already perfected. No, but I press on. Say that we press on. That I may lay hold of what that which was Jesus Christ has laid also upon me. Look at this. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to the things which are ahead, I press toward the prize and the call in Christ Jesus. Is that your desire? Pressing, hallelujah, toward the call. I got so much more, but we're going to end it right now. Hallelujah. I want everyone to stand right now. I think you got the gist of this message. Can I get amen?
Amen.
There's no more to pound into our spirit. We know that afflictions will come. We know trouble will come. Hallelujah. But I'm here to let you know that God can fix all things. God can make all things right in his time. How many of you believe that? That God's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever think and ask and hope for. How many of you believe right now that whatever you're going through, God can make the crooked things in your life straight?
Yeah.
Huh? Listen, I'm going to ask each and every one of you just to come to this altar right now. And I'm going to pray a blessing over you. Hallelujah. Someone here on this platform up here is going to have a prophetic word, and I need you to roll with it. Hallelujah. Be praying, sister. Be praying. Come on up. Come on, make room. Listen, YouTube and Facebook is on, and we're going to pray for those who are watching, and then we're going to sign off with them, and then we're going to have our moment here. Amen. If you're watching right now on Facebook and YouTube, and you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family to pray with me, to pray for you, that God would save you. Bow your heart and your head with me and pray this prayer of salvation. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. From this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Give God a shout. Hallelujah. Praise. Come on. Give him a shout of praise. We love you, Facebook and YouTube. We're signing off now. We love you. Join us this Wednesday night at 7 p.m. God bless you now. Hallelujah.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you, and thank you for listening.